We welcome you now to A True Church Perspective with Pastor G. Craig Lewis.
We were taught that America is the chosen nation of God. How many of y'all was taught that? We're the chosen nation, and God's favor is upon America. You were taught that, weren't you? No, it's not. Look at your neighbor and say, no, it's not. It may be on some individuals, but it's not on the land of America. The land of America is corrupt, okay? It's been corrupt since it became a government. That's what always happens. It always happens that way. Things are going good until they form a government. As soon as they make it official, the devil takes it. Same with churches. Move of God, power of God is moving until they turn it into a denomination. As soon as they turn it into a denomination, they have to bring the secular government inside. Once you bring the government in there, now you got a mediator. Once you got a mediator, God says, okay, y'all can take it from there. Can I tell the truth in here? Well, y'all looking at me like I'm just messing with you. I'm telling you the truth. That's what happened. Once man gets a hold of it and tries to make something official based on our rules and our laws and our understanding, we totally put God out of it. And that's what happened to America. Yeah, there was a revival with the Indians and there was a revival going on. But as soon as George Washington and these guys brought that Freemason doctrine, they created a nation to use as guinea pigs to usher in what they consider a new age, Novo Ordo Seclorum. Can I keep preaching? Are y'all going to receive this morning? Okay, all right. This is what God woke me up and dealt with me about. It's Mark chapter 8, verse 14. Jesus is talking to the disciples. The disciples acting just like us. Look at somebody and say, they're acting just like you. Watch, they're going to do just what we do. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread. Neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. They didn't have no food. And Jesus looked at them, knew they was looking around for bread, and said, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, is he talking about leaven because we don't have any bread? And when Jesus knew it, he said unto them, why reason ye? Because you have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Have your heart yet hardened? Are you not understanding what is going on? This is what Jesus is saying. You have eyes and you can't see. You have ears, you can't hear. Don't you remember? When I broke the 5 loaves among 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they said unto him, we had 12 left. And when the 7 among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they said, 7. And he said unto them, how is it that you do not understand? What is he talking about here? What is Jesus talking about here? Well, first he's talking about the disciples worrying. Y'all are worried about not having food, and you just forgot that I just blew one loaf up in the feed 5,000. You worried about bread, and I'm talking about leaven. Y'all are looking at something natural, and I'm talking about something spiritual. That's what he's saying. What is leaven? Leaven is influence that modifies something or transforms it. And when Jesus is talking about it, he's talking about something getting in you that transforms you or modifies you. An influence. You're influenced, so you're modified or transformed. Herod was influential in politics and religion. King Herod. And from Jesus' birth till his death, he sought to kill Jesus and stop his ministry. Politics. Look at somebody and say politics. Will always try to stop Christ's teachings because Christ taught humility, but politics requires self-promotion and exaltation. Luke 13 and 31, the same day there came certain of the Pharisees saying unto him, get thee out and depart hence, for Herod will kill thee. In other words, stop your ministering. Stop doing the message because Herod's going to come and he's going to kill you. And Jesus said unto them, go ye and tell that fox. Why did he say fox? Because he knew Herod had an agenda. That's what a fox is. A fox is sly. He's sneaky. He has an agenda. Jesus already knew it. He has an agenda, and his agenda is to stop my ministry. So he said, go tell that fox that I cast out devils. I do cures too today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. So basically he's saying, you can't stop me until I stop. But
politics requires self-promotion and exaltation. When church is going fine and the move of God is moving and God is doing his thing, soon as you bring politics in it, soon as you bring that hierarchy in it, soon as you put that model, that business model from secular America into that church and elect that leader and then elect guys under him and then all the guys under him want to be him and the guys under them want to be them and all of that starts, then Christ gets pushed out. Because Christ is telling you, deny yourself. How you running for an office and you denying yourself at the same time? No, you got to promote yourself to do that. And as men promote themselves, Christ is pushed down. Because Christ's agenda is that he promotes you. Not that you seek to get in good favor with men. You seek to get in good favor with God and allow God to elevate you. Can I tell the truth in here? I just hope y'all are listening to this. Because this is the problem right now. A little leaven affects the entire loaf and changes its appearance, texture, and consistency. This is what politics from the pulpit always does. It changes preachers, churches, and members. Galatians 5 says a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. So when we preach politics and influence our congregations to vote a certain way, to seek a certain man and put a certain man in office, then we have compromised our people. Because which one of us is going to vouch for him? See, this morning there's going to be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth in some of these churches. Because those men who should have been seeking the face of God were seeking a black face. And they lifted this man up over their people. Now they look crazy. Now you've shown you have no discernment. Now you've shown you have no prophecy. Now you've shown that you can't see. And you led your people astray. Yeah, that's what the announcement was for. Obama was letting you know. This is what it is. This is the way it is. This is the way I've always been. All you have to do is trot to exministries.com and you would have heard him say for himself that he's waiting on the day to come. When marriage between a man and a man, a woman and a woman, would be just as admirable as marriage between a man and a woman. That's on, been on our website since he started running for president. You go get the truth behind abortion. And Brother Will Ford laid it out and let you know this man's abortion agenda. So what the church folks, what you shocked about? Why are you shocked? When did you shoot that? 06? Yeah, we were talking about him and all the churches, you know, during that time shut me out and wouldn't bring me to town. I spent 3 months at home. No engagements. Because they didn't want me messing up the election. Because we had the information. They didn't want it. There's going to be some big, big time breakfasts in churches this morning because there's a whole lot of egg on folks' faces. It's so funny, you know, I have people in my life, I have, you know, friends, families, and different ones, and they just think, I guess they just think I'm a joke, because when I'm talking, they don't listen at all. You know, I thank God for this group. I believe God gave this group, you know, to me and my wife, because we needed a support group, because our own family won't listen. They went out and voted for this man in spite of all the information that I gave them. It's like, you crazy. You know, they think I'm the spiritual Jed Clapett, where I was just out one day shooting at some food and up through the ground came EX Ministries. And I just, yeah, you got lucky that time, buddy. You got a ministry that's been going for 13 years, but you know, you got the truth right in front of you and you won't listen to it. Soon as Obama made the message, I went to texting and calling. Remember me? The warning of Jesus Christ himself, because we have adopted the idea that our salvation must come from a political leader. That's what it is. Not our salvation as far as going to heaven or hell, but our salvation as a people has to come from a spiritual, from a political leader. We believe that. We believe, well, what about the jobs? What about welfare? What about this and what that? And so we put our confidence in a political leader whose agenda is satanic. Hey, I'm not going to get a bunch of amens this morning because I'm telling you, well, we live here in the world. Yeah, you live in the world, but you don't have to be of the world. You're not supposed to be of the world. And what's going to happen? What if the economy falls tomorrow? What if the bottom comes out of Wall Street tomorrow and you have nothing? What you going to do? Oh, Jesus. That's what you're going to do. Why are you going to do that? Because you believe that Jesus is going to make a way regardless of what's happening in the government. Ain't that what you believe? Well, then why isn't your confidence in the leaven of Herod now? But we have forgotten that our salvation was already granted to us by the true King of Kings. Salvation is done. It's a done deal. It's already done. Psalms 103 and 2 says, bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all of his benefits. Who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and what? Tender mercies. So no matter what goes on, forget not his benefits. You can't vote Christ's benefits in a pagan government. You can't vote in a leader for you. No matter who they put in office, he can't be your leader. He can't be. Who was the disciples' leader? Herod? Who fed them when they didn't have anything to eat? Who saved their life when the boat was rocking? Herod? Who did they die for? Who were they skinned alive for? Crucified upside down, burned in, boiled in hot oil. Was that for Herod? America, the not so beautiful. Though the disciples forgot to take bread with them, Jesus reminded them that he is their supply. When they lacked, they immediately took the spiritual sayings of Jesus naturally. When they lacked and didn't have nothing to eat, they immediately took his spiritual sayings naturally. They made a spiritual thing a carnal thing. This is where we as people are now. Because of lack, we desire to mix in the carnal with the spiritual. We're poor, so we gotta vote in somebody to help us because we're poor. We don't have bread. Instead of looking to the man that fed 5,000, I got ministers buzzing all around me that won't listen. They won't listen. I don't know what I have to do. I don't know what they have to see. But they won't hear it. I don't know why. I talked to my wife about it all the time. I said, I mean, is it because I'm short? Because I look young? I told them. And they wouldn't hear. My own family, I told them, warned them, and they don't want to hear. And now, this president just boldly, I mean with arrogance, it's like, hey, I'm about to pull one on you and show you who has your people's affection. We are looking to a pagan government with Antichrist political leadership for things that can only come from God. Our salvation, sustenance, and supply can only come from above. We are in the world, but not of the world. But we have been convinced over time that America is what? Our land. And salvation will come through the leader of it. 2 Chronicles 7 and 14, which is the most misquoted scripture. Whenever something go bad in the land, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, seek thy face, turn from the wicked ways, then when I hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and then I will heal their land. He is not, look at somebody, say, he ain't talking about America. He was talking about Israel, which was physical at the time, and the Jews, which were his physical people at the time. But then when Christ came, Christ became the firstborn son of Israel and created the new Israel and the new Jews, which now is not a land, but it's a people, but it's in us all. All of us that believe, we are the Israel of God. All of us that follow his word, we are the Israel of God. We are what the Bible calls the true Jews. So when he says he's going to heal our land, he's talking about he's going to heal his people, us, not America. America is a wicked country and is not the Israel of God. The people that believe upon the entire, look at somebody say entire. Entire. And I'm talking, you ain't just wearing Jesus' name as a badge and spraying him on like he's cologne. I'm talking about people that believe the entire word of God and live for him are the true Jews whose kingdom is not of this world. Jesus spoke directly to Pilate, the political leader. He's waiting on him to do something. He's like, okay, where's your army, Jesus? What y'all gonna do? And Jesus is like, my kingdom is not of this world. He said, if my kingdom was of this world, my disciples would have made a good fight to keep me out of the hands of the Jews. But my kingdom is not up here. Dominion theology, kingdom now theology, restoration theology all teach that we should be in and of this world by voting in a political party that will change the laws and rules to reflect our Christian beliefs. But this is the opposite of what Jesus taught. Romans said, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the what? So all of these scriptures we read, and what is God trying to do? The kingdom of God is a what? Counter cultural movement that exists on earth, but is not of earth. We are here to win souls, not lands. We're not trying to save the land, America, because it's doomed. We are here to be living, walking, breathing examples of Jesus's teachings, not mixers of politics and religion. God's true prophets never preach politics. Where did politics come from? That's pagan. Yes. It's a pagan idea. That's what politics are. Yeah. It's based on Nimrod. Nimrod's ambitions. Babylon. Babylon the Great. Then Persia. Then Greece. Then Rome. Well, then England. And then now America. It's modeled after a pagan idea. But now preachers are encouraging voting for this party or that party as if the right man in office will change things to better suit the believer. Can the right man in office change things to better suit us? In other words, he can fix this and he can fix that, but he comes with this agenda and that agenda as well. So, you know, he's going against same-sex marriage, which is cool. He's helping us there, but then he's for abortion over here. So now I got to choose the lesser of two evils. Let me see which one is worse. Is that one worse? I'm going to vote for them because that ain't as bad as that. What have we become? How do we even do that? How do you make that decision? That's what we've become because they told us to do that. You got the right to vote. Somebody died and bled for your right to vote. Yeah, somebody died and bled for my righteousness too. That's why I'm going to try to do the right thing. And the right to vote is the right not to vote. If you don't give me a candidate that's straight up all the way across the board, I can't vote for him. It's like me choosing a pastor. Well, he preach a good word. He sure can sing. Now he a little gay. But he can sing, he can preach. That's why our churches are full of folks like that now. Oh, he'll pack the house out, Doc. Oh, everybody he touch, he'll just knock them out. He knock folks out. When you come near him, they just knock them out. Now, you know what I'm saying? There's always a catch. Now, don't get no liquor around him. Because he will get butt naked drunk. Start taking clothes off. And they find him in the alley in boots and overcoat. But boy, when he's behind that microphone, and that's what we've become, that's what we do now. The lesser of two evils. Well, I go to this church. Why you go to that church? Well, you know, he's a good man. You know, he's a good man or whatever. Now, he don't have no spiritual discernment. He don't have no word of prophecy. The power of God never, ever used curses him, but he's a good fella. So it's easy for you to go cast a vote for Obama. Well, he's black, and he's saying that he is saved. Now, he's for the gays and abortion, but he say he's saved, you know. My pastor's like that, too, so I might as well go for it. You know what I'm saying? I sit under that every Sunday. I've been indoctrinated every Sunday. I was trained to think that way. Some of you right now get mad and like, I'm never coming back to this church. Because he's making me think about stuff that I just don't feel like thinking about. Because my mind has been trained not to think about that. You opening my eyes too much, Pastor. I'm not coming back. I closed them for a reason. It's just easier to keep them closed. But now preachers are encouraging voting for this party as if, you know, that's going to change something. But Psalm said, the wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. So if you exalt that man and he has a wicked agenda, which they all do, you know, can I just break down something? In this country, we have the illusion of choice. Basically, what that means is they're making you think that your vote is counting when it's not. Okay. First of all, the electoral system is old anyway. People, in where they give the electoral votes, the populations have risen so much that those numbers don't even make sense anymore. So that's out. Second, they're making you vote for the top two candidates. Okay, why is there always two that they picked? And why is the one that wins always related to the one that was in office before? Now, if the people really had a choice, somebody wouldn't be a relative of the other. Because there's millions of people here. Why are they always related? You've been hoodwinked. Bamboozled. I mean, honestly, and I tell you Will all the time, I use the analogy, I think I use it on that interview. I use the analogy of a company, a corporation. If I own Apple computers, if I'm Steve Jobs before he died, if I'm Steve Jobs, I'm not going to the retail outlet to ask the guy behind the counter at the retail store who he thinks ought to be CEO of the corporation. Because he doesn't have the mental capacity, he don't have the understanding, he don't even have the information to make that decision. So there's a board of directors that always choose the CEO. Don't that make sense? That's just a multi-billion dollar corporation. America is a multi-trillion dollar corporation. So you better know that minimum wage employees, yeah, you and me, we all minimum wage employees on the ground floor. And crackhead John, he got a voter's registration card. And sleep with all the men, Susie, she got one. Folks that ain't amounting to nothing in life, they're going to choose the CEO of a trillion-dollar corporation? Do you really believe that? Do ya? Somebody's like, yes, I do. I want to. I'm leaving. Don't wake me up. I'm dreaming. It's rigged. I hate to mess with your party, but it's rigged. It's all rigged. Everything in America, from the NBA to the NFL, anything that involves millions and billions of dollars, they can't let the bottom fall out of it. It's rigged. Get over it. Freemasons built this country upon Antichrist policy. And with a pagan God resolution in mind. This country is on its way to hell. And there is no redemption for the land. Period. The redemption is for the individuals that accept Jesus Christ as their Savior and chooses his way rather than their own. People just all excited because Obama said he was a Christian. He's a Christian! And he's black! Just in the booth. And then they get in office and cancel the day of prayer and then bring the Muslims in to pray. Well, he didn't mean it like that, see, because he's president. He got to like everybody. He has to be for everyone. Well, how is he a Christian if he's for every religion? Is that what Christians are? He refined Christianity and made it what he wanted. And this week, he just hit it with a major blow. He's letting everybody know, hey, this is the way Christianity is. They tried it with Oprah and it didn't work as well, so they have to bring the chief in on it now. We're going to get these Christians to accept same-sex marriage, whether they like it or not. We had all their pastors and all their leaders following a man. They'll get with him. They want to keep coming on TV, they'll get with him. They want to keep them big buildings open, they'll get with him. They'll change. See, they'll separate it. I mean, it's not a spiritual thing as much as we thought, because he is president, so he has to kind of, you know, accept things, and he has to do things, and he has to. Can I keep going? We should be looking for the kingdom that will come from above rather than trying to Christianize a pagan system so that it can be our home. This world is not our home. And we will never make it comfortable. That's what we're trying to do. Obama's going to make it better. He's going to make it comfortable. He's going to give us bread when we don't have bread. And Jesus is saying, I'm the one that gave you bread before. Why aren't you trusting me now? Beware of the leaving of those that have a religious and political agenda. That's what he was saying. Beware of the Pharisees. They're fundamentalists. Beware of the Sadducees. They're liberals. He's saying beware of the leaven of these political parties. Because a little leaven changes the whole lump. And Jesus was telling the disciples, I gave you bread when you didn't have bread. Why are you concerned about bread? Why are you betraying me following an antichrist system when I'm the one that gives you bread? They took the three Hebrew boys and they told them, look, if you don't bow before this pagan God, we're going to kill you. Three Hebrew boys, okay, well, let's talk. They get together, they say, okay, now, with the only voice, God has called us, with the only voice of these people, if we burn up, God's people don't have a voice. So what do we do? Do we go on and just bow and not mean it? What if we do that? What if we just bow and just not mean it? In other words, we'll give the leader what he wants, and he just wants us to support him. So we support the leader, but not mean it. Or we just support the good things. How about that? The good things that the leader's doing. And then just, you know, the bad stuff. That's the, you know, because we got to be here because we're the voice. That's not what the Bible says they did. The three Hebrew boys said, okay, we're the only voice. Then that means there's no voice, because you're going to have to put us in the furnace. Because we ain't bowing. Because we know who gives us bread. We know who sustains us. This job don't mean anything to us. This position doesn't mean anything. We can't even believe we got the position. We got elevated and we weren't even trying to. So you know I can tell it goodbye in a minute. Daniel was working in Babylon. Working for the Chaldeans. It was so corrupt in there in his job and in his environment till he had to crack the window, stick his lips out of the window and pray three times a day. When they came to him and said, we don't like this, Daniel, because you're the only one in here that ain't conforming. You're a political leader and you're not conforming. I mean, we can't get you with nothing, so we're going to get you with this decree that the king made. And you're basically going to have to bow, or we're going to have to put you there in the lines there. Now, Daniel could have easily reasoned and said, okay, you know, I'm the hope of this land. I'm the hope of this nation. I'm here. God placed me. God gave me the job. So if God gave me the job, then he would expect me to go on and conform to what the job says. Daniel said, no, I don't know much, but I know one thing. This is a setup. Open the cave. I'm getting in there with the lions. So what are we doing now? Conforming to the politics? Conforming to the political party who has secularism in their agenda? Hebrews 13:14 says, for this world is not our home. We are looking forward to our city in heaven, which is yet to come. Our summary is, Paul stated that if our hope is in this life, we are most miserable. Our hope should be in Jesus Christ and him alone. He is our bread for today and our hope for tomorrow. We are people of a different kingdom whose rules the world cannot understand and whose establishment waits a returning king. It's Herod's levet that political parties are made of, and we as believers cannot be identified with them. Though they may seem conservative, there is always compromise mixed in somewhere, and a little leaven leaveneth the whole loaf. When we vote for men that compromise, we compromise. When we vote for men that compromise, we compromise. And we support their movement. We endorse their movement. The homosexuals and the lesbians are laughing at the church right now because the church endorsed this man. His wife said he's going to do this all alone. This doesn't mean that we ignore politics. Listen to this part, balance. But our politics should adhere to Christ's policies. That's where the word politics comes from. We should do our best, be as good as we can as citizens of this land, but never lose our identity as believers from another world. In other words, if you're looking at it and you say, I'm going to vote for this candidate. Oh, but his policy is anti-Christ, which is anything that is against Christ. I can't vote for him. Well, it's only two and both of them are anti-Christ. Then guess what? I can't vote. Open the lion's den. That's what Daniel did. What are the choices? Bow, death, bring death over. What are the three Hebrew boys? Bow, death. I got to choose death. If those are only two choices you're giving me, is there another choice? Now, if there's a third choice, let me know. In secular politics, the rules are, number one, get in power. Number two, stay in power. And number three, increase your power. It's like that in the church too now. Increase your power. In a system made up of selfish ambition, the will of God can never be carried out. Pastors, preachers, ministers, etc. should avoid standing with political figures because of this. We should pray for them, but never get in bed with them. We should stand for what we believe, but never try to influence others to put their hope in ambitious men. But because the church has mirrored the world by electing mediators to speak to God for them, we see no harm in casting our hope in a secular politician. But now that the carnal church leaders have been betrayed, I said carnal church leaders, have been betrayed by Obama, maybe they will see that our true government rests on the shoulders of our true leader, Jesus Christ. Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. My God, what are we doing? The government shall be upon, and he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. It is what it is. I thank God for you. I thank God for you coming. I thank God for you believing in the truth. Thank God for you desiring the truth. I didn't have this before. When EX Ministries was virtual, you know, at the end of the day, it was me and my family, and that was it. Because everybody, you know, you couldn't see people. It's just like you go out, you come home, and it's like everybody, nobody will listen. And I went through that for 12 years. And I thank God that there is a group here that want to be adamant believers and that want the truth. Is that what y'all want? No matter how it makes you feel, truth is truth. Well, I don't agree with what, then there's somewhere you can go that you can get agreed with. I'm serious. I mean, because we're going to be in agreement here. We're going to believe that we are in a system that is in this world, but we are not of this world. Even on your job, you're not of that job. You're on that job. Now, that doesn't mean you go in there and try to knock the manager out under the power of the Holy Ghost. No, I'm not saying that. But if he comes up to you and say, look, you know, the gays here don't like you, so I need you to tell them that their lifestyle is okay and that you okay with them. What you gonna do? You think that day is not coming? When your boss gives you the choice, bow, or death. What you gonna do?
You've been listening to A True Church Perspective from G. Craig Lewis, founder of EX Ministries and pastor of Adamant Believers Council in Grand Prairie, Texas. If this message has been a blessing to you and you would like to be a financial blessing to us, please send your donation to EX Ministries, P.O. Box 24870, Fort Worth, Texas 76124, or donate online at www.exministries.com.